You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
And welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. It's 7-7-21. Well, that's a good number. And my birthday is 7-21-21. So we'll see what happens then. Well, technicals, often the case is an amazing fundamental case for a company, for an industry, for an economy, for a commodity like gold and silver. But the technicals just aren't there. And then you're shocked. Well, how can this be? The analysis said the fundamentals were great. This company was going up. But in the end, the technicals must confirm the fundamentals for things to rise. Well, person who's made his living doing that, former floor trader on the NYMEX, which I think it doesn't really exist anymore. I think it got absorbed. Been on the trading floor his whole life. His name is Michael Moore. You find his work over at mooreanalytics.com. That's M-O-O-R, analytics.com. Michael, welcome to the show. So, we're talking about markets. We might as well just talk about how you acquired your knowledge through, I assume, a lot of losing trades and a lot of bitter experience over the years.
Thank you, Kerry. It's a pleasure to be on your show. It's an honor. Thank you very much. I was on the trading floor. Either you had large financial backers to put you in the ring, or there was a long line to get into the pits. Some of the guys working for EDF Man were online for 8 years on the forwards trying to get into the pits. So I decided to learn technical analysis to predict the markets. And I was that guy you see in the movies that was the last guy there when they were raking up all the trading cards from the floor and vacuuming the floors. And I was there just charting markets until I got better and better at it and finally had a natural gas futures pit trader and a crude oil options pit trader just corner me one day and say, listen, write this down on paper every day, bring it to us, we'll pay you for it. And that was the beginning of the analytical business.
Yeah, so the trading pits, obviously, they don't exist anymore. It's all electronic trading. But back in the day, it was like trading places with Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd, where like it was just pure insanity, screaming, cursing. People would drop dead in the on the floor of the pit, and people would just step over them. Was that an exaggeration?
No, I've seen guys laying in pits asleep from a long night the night before. I know that during the Gulf War, if guys had an argument, they would have a place downstairs where they would drop their trading cards or their trading pads in the pit. They put it on the side of the pit, and then they'd go downstairs and they'd have it out, and then come back up to the pit and keep on trading with bloody lips or whatever else, because it was a $25,000 fine if you got caught fighting in the pit.
Yeah, well. I mean, those were the days. Now, it's real hard to have a fight with a trader because you're on different workstations in different corners of the world.
Yeah, it's a very different climate now. I mean, it was very exciting down there. It was just a tremendous experience and learned a lot. But the markets are different, but they're really the same in a lot of levels, too. They're still auctioning markets. So there's been some metrics that have changed, but overall, I don't think they've changed that drastically.
Yeah, and there is a lot of screaming that takes place on trading floors and brokerage houses around the globe. What's like the strangest thing you ever saw happen in a market as far as trading goes? What happened on there that nobody could believe?
Well, obviously 9/11, but prior to that, I would say natural gas. I came in one morning and natural gas, I guess, was trading in the $13 area. And it had gone limit up overnight. Limit up meaning that each market has a limit to which they can trade. And then they close the markets down. They don't let it bid up any higher. But the guys running Globex had forgot to trigger the limit up limit. And so the exchange decided to make it to double the limit. And by the time the markets opened up at 9 o'clock, it opened up double limit up. So it opened up 14 handles higher and really took a lot of guys out, and then came off by 7 handles that day. And that's, I remember analyzing natural gas when it was ticking in 50 to 100 tick increments. So guys that were used to trading 100, 150, 200 lots were trading 3 lots and 5 lots.
Do you think that was really accidental or accidentally on purpose?
They had, I think, a lot of manipulation going on in some of the markets at that time, and some of that they clamped down on. But you know, when it's that crazy, it's really just hard to say.
Yeah. Well, hey, let's look at something like gold and silver. Those markets. The majors have been caught, I don't know how many times, maybe you've actually tracked it. If any of you out there know, how many times have the major bullion banks and the major trading banks been caught manipulating the market, and yet the market is freely trading, and it's a legitimate market, supposedly, of price discovery, but we've seen them been indicted over and over and over again. Oh, it's always just an errant trader, a trader gone rogue. But when you see it enough times, it's kind of like when you see, well, without getting into it, but when you see bad behavior and then you realize at some point it's no accident, it's the rule, effectively.
Right. So this is actually a great example of why I like technical analysis. First of all, for any trader that's trading in a daily time frame and below, setting aside news-based events, it is very hard for anybody to put together a fundamental picture in such a cohesive manner that he can execute a trade in and out within a day and be effective at it over a period of time, unless you're doing it for longer periods of time. But that case in point, one of the ways a lot of traders that are novices lose money is they average against themselves. So they'll, you know, averaging into an area is a good thing to do if you know the area that you're averaging into and you get out of your stop. But what other guys will do is they'll sell, and they'll sell higher, and they'll sell higher, and they say, it's got to come off. You know, but if you're in a situation where there is major market manipulation, like the Hunt brothers manipulating silver back in the day, it can go in your face without any reasonable explanation. So there is a moniker there, I believe, in the markets that said the markets can stay irrational much longer than you can stay liquid.
Yeah, and solvent. Exactly. Agreed. So, but there is manipulation that takes place on an ongoing basis. Like, let's look at options expiration when we have the quadruple witching hour, which the media doesn't even follow anymore. Michael, it used to be a big deal. Now they just ignore it. But all sorts of anomalies occur during these times because the larger banks, market makers, are trying to flush out the options holders, right? And it happens the quadruple happens every 4 months, or 3 months rather, every quarter. But we have an options X every month, and the same thing happens over and over again. Yet nobody seems to care about it.
Right. I mean, there's definitely manipulation in areas, a lot of manipulation around TAS and other roles and stuff like that. But I think generally the markets, though, the underpinnings of them are the fundamentals. And I still believe that the tacticals give you the best timing to take advantage of those fundamentals. And to the point we were talking about before, averaging against yourself, if you're getting in the market in areas that have a technical out, then you should never have to average against yourself for long distances. It always should always be short shots in the market if you're going against it with a tight risk.
Yeah, so managing risk is a huge part of being a successful trader. And often managing risk means managing emotions. So let's bring it out to practical application here. Markets. What markets are you following most closely right now?
The energy markets, the gold market, and Bitcoin.
Okay, so let's talk about energy first. We had this anomalous situation about a year ago, where they had to pay you to take the oil. Nobody wanted it. Things have changed a little bit since then, haven't they?
Yes, definitely. The you know, obviously the oil went to negative values, which is quite an anomaly, which nobody'd ever seen. And again, the technicals give you 20 C's to change that picture. So I've been bullish the crude oil from about the $15 area. And then the unleaded gasoline broke above a massive formation back in December of 2020. And from there, I had it projected up 30 cents minimum, $1.25 plus maximum. And that was from the $1.26 area. We've traded up to the 233 area, so we've exceeded that. The maximum decreased to about 90 cents, so we've exceeded that so far. But I still think we have massive projections to the upside in the crude oil outrights, which I have. Let's pull that up. The crude oil, we took out a major formation at $55.15 a barrel, which warned of significant strength in the weeks/months ahead. We've seen $21.83 of that, and the break above $57.45 projects this upward another $56 minimum a barrel, $110 plus maximum.
$110 from where are we now?
From that was the break of $57.45 projected it upward another $56 minimum, $110 plus maximum. So we've only attained $18.96 of that. And maybe going in, we may be going into a bearish correction right here against that move upward, but we could still see the bearish correction here would probably exceed about $9 from the high, but we could still see a pretty significant bearish correction, and that projection to the upside still be intact.
Really? Huh. Interesting. Okay, so share with us your thoughts about gold.
Don't just survive. Thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
Fury Gold Mines is a Canada-focused exploration and development company committed to aggressively growing its scalable high-grade gold assets with major drill campaigns planned across its 3.5 million ounce portfolio. Fury is led by a management team of proven explorers and developers with a track record of success in advancing and financing project development. Fury Gold Mines is well positioned to create value for investors with low-risk development growth and the potential for a new major discovery. Fury Gold Mines trades on the TSX and NYSE American under the ticker FURY. To learn more, go to furygoldmines.com. That's furygoldmines.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
So gold, very macro. I've been very macro bullish the gold since 2018 when we broke above 1,179 an ounce. And then that brought us back into this massive base that we've been building for years. Just giving you a little bit of background. When we broke above 1,347, I projected the market upward $80 minimum, 320 plus maximum. We got $744 of that before we held a significant exhaustion level above. Since then, we've been in a macro bearish correction against that move upward, and we have not yet erased the macro bullish trending structure of that move. So we are in a macro bearish correction within that bullish move. And drilling down, I mean, I analyzed in a couple of different time frames, sort of like the Russian dolls. You have one time frame inside of another, sort of, you know, just like a hedge fund would manage it. And short term, the gold is bullish. And we are.
What do you think the upside is for short term?
The trade above 1784 projected this up at $34. We got $31.04 of it before rolling over. So we're going to see right now if we're going to go up for another stretch upward. I think that we will have another run up, though, probably to test some other lower time frame exhaustion levels. There's one at, in the 1830 to 1834 area. And then another exhaustion level above there at 1854 to 1855 in general. If this thing fails back down below the 1780 to 1775 area, then it's going to get hit again. It'll probably run back down and test the recent lows at 1750.
Right. So 1750 looks like support at this point, huh?
Yeah, that would be a major support level down there. If you really start taking that out and start trading down into the 17, 30s and south, there would be a much the argument for the bullish trend would be kind of wiped out. So we would just see if we hold exhaustion levels down there or not.
Okay. That's reasonable. You follow silver at all?
I don't really. By the way, just one other thing. If the gold does go up and take out like the 19 to 19.10 area solidly, then that could precipitate a run back up towards the highs. But I could pull up silver real quickly if you have it.
Bullish
in general in the silver. Right now, it's just kind of in a consolidative area, but in general, I'm still bullish to silver.
Okay. I like that. All right. I'm kind of bullish on it, but, you know, things don't happen on speculators' time. There's a bigger time frame at play here, and that's really what you always got to think about. So when we look at Bitcoin, Bitcoin's like really easy to play, isn't it?
Bitcoin has been surprisingly, I shouldn't say surprisingly, it's not surprising, it's very technical. It's been interesting for me to analyze something as a, you know, quote, brand new market, just to see if the technicals apply to them just the way they do other markets, but they do. Just like the natural gas first came out, it's a very technical market, responds very well to them. So, for example, the high, right, at 65,520 up in that area, that was an area that I predicted ahead of time would be a high. And that was based off of technical analysis. And you can't say it was based off of old resistance areas and whatnot, because the market had never traded there before.
It's a new high. Yeah, it was an all-time high.
Right. So to be able to predict a turn in the market when it's never been there before, I think this speaks to the veracity of the discipline of technicals.
Mm-hmm. So Bitcoin is interesting because there's nothing tangible. There is no fundamental case for it, effectively. It's all technical, meaning that it's not like you're worrying about them producing widgets or shipping costs, contango, anything else. None of it, none of that matters with Bitcoin.
Right. I mean, you'd have a better opinion on that than I would, obviously, because, again, I don't really follow them. Whether it would be have fundamentals behind it or not is not something for me I would even really look at. I would just say, does this have technical predictability, and is the liquidity in the market? And there's been a lot of interest in it. And whether I personally agree with the interest or think it's got validity or not, doesn't really matter.
It's irrelevant. Right. It's irrelevant. The only thing,
we want you to analyze Bitcoin. So I analyze it. I provide them, you know, trading suggestions on it, and they're happy and I'm happy. So it works out.
Yeah. My only point being that pretty much you don't have to worry about the Suez Canal being blocked. There are no future outside uncertainties, if you will, having to deal with the nature of Bitcoin. You know what I'm saying? It's all the technical charts. There's nothing else that has anything else to do with it, because you can have divergences between the fundamentals and the technicals and, you know, wind up having a bad call, right? They're not every call you make is correct, right?
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think the only outlier would be if governments really start to get involved in it. Exactly. That would be the one misnomer. As a market that's not, there's always going to be people, I'm sure they're going to try to, you know, manipulate this market as well.
And it's being done as we speak, and it's really easier because you don't have the Commodity Futures Trading Commission breathing down your neck. You don't have the SEC. There is no such thing as insider trading on cryptos. If there was, Elon Musk would be behind bars now, wouldn't he?
You make some very good points.
Yeah. So I just want to go back to energy for a moment here, because I find the most complex market to the uninitiated, and talk to a number of people, is nat gas. right? There's a reason that it's called the Widowmaker. The prices are virtually impossible through fundamental means to have any semblance of correct projection into the future. Like, for instance, right now, you know, it was over 365 per million BTU. And this is in the middle of summer or the beginning of summer. Nobody anticipated it. And yet somehow these natural gas numbers seem to know everything that's going to happen, if you know what I mean. Weather patterns, all of that.
Yeah, I mean, the other strange thing about the technicals is they will give you signals that just flat out don't make sense fundamentally. You know, like last March, the unleaded gas to heating oil spread, I had a big bearish call in there. You know, why would you have a bearish call when the gasoline consumption should be going up and the heating oil consumption should be going down? Well, it started to crater, and then very quickly you realize, oh, this COVID thing is going to make a lot less people drive around and a lot more people stay at home and need to heat their homes more while you still have March, April, and May. And that entire spread just collapsed. And you only realized it, you know, after the fact that you were looking at it fundamentally and then snap back in the other direction. But I think natural gas is the same way. You know, I'll see technical formations on there. And, you know, natural gas will have been in a 40 to 50 tick range for months and months and months on end. And then all of a sudden there'll be some big formation that projects it upwards, you know, 14 or 15 handles. And people will say, oh, that's never going to happen. The volatility's so low. And then before you know it, it's blown up that much.
Hey, for the people listening out there, just tell us what a handle is.
A handle in natural gas would be 100 ticks. So a tick is the smallest increment that a commodity can move in. It's an exchange terminology for that.
Thanks for that. Yeah. So, yeah, I just find the unpredictability of the nat gas market insofar as fundamentals is concerned, because there's basically an infinite supply of the stuff because there's so much shut-in capacity all over the United States that the second it breaks $3 per million BTU, they can literally unleash within a month or two, you know, humongous amounts of it. So you can never figure out where it's going to move based on the tech, on the fundamentals. They're just really they're helpless for that.
So, you know, Kerry, you bring up such a good point, and you're reiterating it in different ways that all complement the same point. Even if you were sitting at a trading desk at Conoco or whatever else, you know, unless you're talking about specific shipping lanes and things that you really have a beat on, it's hard to look at world demand and world supply and pull that together for a trader in such a cohesive manner that he can really take advantage of it on a short-term basis, unless he's buying something and holding it for 3 to 5 or 6 months. And even then, you know, and what your risk is, it's pretty difficult to have that handle, you know, to do that in a way unless you're using spectrum.
Yeah, no, I totally see it. And the people who've been the best calls on most commodities that I've seen, especially gold and silver, but energy as well, have all been technical people, all. And the calls, sometimes the numbers are just absurd and you shake your head and then a couple weeks later, there it is. It comes to pass. Well, I think we got in a good background here. Really appreciate you coming on. I know we had a little problems, scheduling issues, but we got you on now, and that's the important thing. So your site is moreanalytics.com. Just tell us about the site a little bit, Michael.
Sure. Kerry, by the way, I just wanted to make one quick point.
Sure.
When I say the fundamentals, I'm not talking about news-related events.
Right.
News-related events are different. I'm just talking about basic fundamentals.
Sure.
The website, I mean, you're more than welcome to visit. They have two-week trials there, and the gold or the energies for Bitcoin. And I have a lot of blogging on there. I usually blog on there 3 times a week. So my calls have been out there publicly on the blogs or on LinkedIn or on Kitco. It's amazing sometimes you have some people don't really have a background and they like to talk down about certain calls and have no idea what the background is. But my background's out there on public. You can see all the calls that I've made on Kitco's website or on on LinkedIn clearly before and after. So, you know, they should speak for themselves. And all my wrong calls are up there too. So you can weigh the positive against the negative.
Yeah, that's great. Well, we appreciate that. And if you got a question for Michael, please send an email to kl@carrylutz.com. We will forward it off to Michael and get you an answer, I promise. Michael, it's been great having you on. We'll look forward to speaking with you again. And hey, happy trading. And let's see where your calls wind up this time.
Carrie, it's been an honor. Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.